Numbers chapter 32 this morning. Numbers 32. Again, if you're getting familiar with your Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then you'll come to the book of Numbers. Numbers 32, we'll be reading verses 20 through 23. I'll read the evens this morning, 20 and 22, if you'll read with me, 21 and 23. And if you've found Numbers 32, if you'll stand for the reading of God's Word. Again, Numbers 32, I'll begin in verse 20, and we'll begin there. And Moses said unto them, If ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return, and be guiltless before the Lord, and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. And let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading that we've heard this morning. Lord, I pray you bless the special before we hear the preaching of the Word. Lord, I pray you bless our preacher this morning, fill him with your Holy Spirit power. I pray you bless the folks that have come this morning. I pray that the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, will do His work this morning. Well, thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
I can hear the sounds of his coming everywhere, in the headlines resounding by the score. It may be another earthquake or just another war, but to every child of God, it's something more. And when I hear the sounds of marching, hear the sounds of battle cries, then I know my Lord is coming, even now it may be nigh, and I can hear sounds of his coming everywhere. They're getting louder and louder each day, and they'll crescendo until that great and final sound, oh, when the trumpet shall call me away.
Where we'll ever give all praise unto the Lamb. And when I hear a sound from heaven, as a rushing mighty wind, face to face I'll stand before the great I Am.
And when I hear revival sounds, not just here, but everywhere, then I know it's almost over. I can feel it in the air, and I can hear the sounds of his coming everywhere. They're getting louder and louder each day, and they'll crescendo trumpet shall call me away, and they'll crescendo until that great and final sound, when the trumpet shall call me away.
Appreciate that good song this morning, good singing, a good reminder that the coming of the Lord indeed is nigh. At the end of verse 23 in Numbers 32, you're going to find the text of the message this morning, basically, where Moses told these folks, be sure Your sin will find you out. And so I want to speak on this subject today. Sin finds you out, or you find out sin. Sin finds you out, or you find out sin. There's a better way to do it. Believe me. Sin finds you out, or you find out sin. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good music we've heard today and been a part of. Privileged to sing the songs that bring praise to you. And sing about the sunshine that's in our soul and our heart. And then, Lord, to hear a song that reminds us that the coming of Christ is soon. Help us, Lord, to live like it. May we not just say amen with our lips, but may it affect the very life that we live. And to bring honor and glory for you, especially in these days. Help me today. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit will help me. But then, Lord, may the Spirit help all who listen as well. May we work together as a team, speaker and listener. And may the Holy Ghost have his way in this service. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And amen. A woman whose husband was away on business invited several of her lady friends to dinner. And she worked hard for several hours to make a very delicious meal. And the presentation of the meal on the plates was right. And the table setting was just beautiful. And she put so many hours and energy into it. And finally, you know, all was ready. And she wiped the sweat off her brow and was seated at the table with her 6-year-old daughter and her lady friends that she had invited for supper. And she turned to her 6-year-old daughter and she said, "Honey, would you like to ask the blessing tonight?" And the daughter said, "Mom, I don't know what to say." I stammered around a little bit. And the mother said, "Well, honey, that's real simple. You just say what you've heard Mommy say." And so the little girl said, "Okay." And she bowed her head and she said, "Dear Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people for dinner?" And so Mom was found out. Now, no doubt, but something like that happening would be fairly harmless and maybe even produced, a chuckle around the table amongst those ladies and maybe some initial embarrassment for the mother. But when it comes to sin being found out, it is unfortunately no laughing matter. I wish it was all as simple as what I heard Dr. Tom Malone tell about years ago. I'm privileged to hear him. I don't know if he told the story here when he preached here in the conference or if I heard him. I heard Dr. Malone several times, different places. But him and his brother were raised by their grandparents down in southern Alabama. And I forget all the details of the why that happened. But they were reared by their grandparents and on a farm. And they had cattle and so forth. And Dr. Malone said one day, Grandpa got up in the morning, and then the boys got up, and he said, "Tom," and I forget who the other brother's name was, he said, "Man, one of the cows has died." And he said, "Now, I want you boys, I got to go to town, I'll be going all day. I want you to bury the cow. And you're going to dig the hole real deep and bury it deep. Make sure you get it deep in the earth. And y'all work at that today and get the cow buried. Now, I want you to get it done." And so the boys said, "Okay." Grandpa went off and they started digging. That old hard-baked, sun-baked Alabama soil, probably a little clayish like Georgia's soil. And they got to digging, and the deeper they got, the harder it got. And they're sweating like crazy. And so finally, a hot day, they just decided, you know what? It's deep enough to get the cow in the ground and cover it. So they put the cow in the ground, a little shallow hole, and covered it with some dirt. And they put their tools away. Grandpa came home and he said, "Did y'all bury that cow?" And they said, "Yeah, we got it done." "Did you bury it deep?" "Oh, yes, sir. We buried it real deep." And he said, "Good, good." Well, about 3 days passed, and he went outside and looked over there, and here was this lump. And he walked over and said, "What in the world is that?" And I hadn't seen it before, you know. All of a sudden, here's this lump in the ground. And so I went over there, and sure enough, that cow's body had bloated and filled up with hot air and other things I won't mention. And that cow's body was bloated above the ground. And boy, Grandpa, he said, he bought those one. He got Tom and his brother, and he said, "You guys," he said, "he made them pull that cow out and dig the hole deeper and put that cow all the way down in the grave. Their disobedience found them out. They thought they had it all covered up, but with the sun and the heat, the cow bloated, and they were found out." Now, in verse 23, I sound loud to you, to myself this morning. I don't know if, am I loud out there with you? I hear myself more out there than I do up here. And that's confusing at times. But anyway, am I too loud or is it okay? Y'all all right? You hearing good in the back? All right, Brother Greg, thank you. I appreciate it. Now, verse number 23, Moses told these people, be sure your sin will find you out. So I want to learn here what's going on in this chapter and then talk a little bit about this matter. Sin finds you out, or you find out sin. Now, the children of Israel are real close to crossing over the Jordan River. They are camped just east of the Jordan. The land there is very fertile, very good for cattle. And representatives, there's 12 tribes in Israel, representatives of the tribe of Reuben and the tribe of Gad and half of the tribe of Manasseh, come to Moses and they say, Moses, we would like to make you a proposition. We've been looking around here and the ground over here is very fertile and we have much cattle and we would like to settle on this side of the Jordan and not go over into the land of promise. And so just settle right here, shy of the promised land, but still very good land. And Moses told them, in fact, he asked them a poignant question. He said, shall your brethren go to war and shall ye sit here? Your brethren are going to go. They're going to cross over Jordan in a few days. They're going to battle and fight. Is it fair for them to cross over Jordan and fight, and you to sit here in peace? What he was saying was, look, we have conquered armies to get to where we are right now, and your brothers have helped you in these battles, and now they're going to go over Jordan. And there's going to be more battles to fight and more armies to conquer and more land to settle after we cross over Jordan. And if you stay over here on the east side of Jordan and you live in peace and you don't go over and help your brethren settle, it'll be discouraging to your brothers. Be real discouraging. By the way, this is not the message this morning, but friend, you know, once you get saved and you become a born-again child of God, you need to be careful that your life is an encouragement to others. An encouragement to others, not a discouragement. Builds, not tears down. And so he said, this is not going to be fair. Now, in verses 16 through 19, the 2.5 tribes, they met and they came back to Moses and they said, okay, Moses, we understand your point and we agree with you. So we would like to make you a promise. And they said this, we will cross over. First of all, on this, we're going to build houses for our families and we're going to build shelters for our flocks. So we're going to do that quickly. And then we will cross over Jordan with you and we'll fight with our brothers and we'll stay in Canaan until all the land is settled and the armies are conquered. And then we'll return to our homes on the east side of Jordan. And we promise you we'll do that. And so Moses agreed. He said, okay, this is what you said you would do. So this is what you will do. You're going to build houses for your family, and you're going to build shelters for your flocks, and then you're going to cross over, and you're going to fight with us over on the other side of Jordan. And then he said this, I'm okay with that, but if you go back on your word, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure, your sin will find you out. Your sin's going to rat on you. Your sin's going to tell on you. You're not going to live in peace over here for generations and have sinned against the Lord and have it not come back and haunt you. Your sin will find you out. Don't think for one minute that you can casually and flippantly sin against God by returning to your homes before the land is conquered and live a carefree and peaceable life. That won't happen. Your sin will find you out. People, I must say this morning that the nature of sin is merciless and the nature of sin is cruel and it will tell on you. That is so true, my friend, about sin. Sin is deceiving. It lures us in and deceives us into thinking, I can get away with this. I can get by with this. And then after we have gone into sin, hook, line, and sinker, you know what happens? Sin rats us out. And sin mocks us. And sin laughs at us and tells on us. Sin finds us out. This happened to Samson over in the book of Judges. There he is. He is deceived by sin into believing that he can be casual with Delilah and be involved in a relationship that was wrong and not proper. And Samson is lured into this thing, hook, line, and sinker. His lust and his pride and his arrogance have him believing that he can carry on in this relationship. Oh, she tries to get him to tell her the secret of his strength, and he makes up some crazy story. And then she runs to the Philistines and says, this is the secret of his strength. And then the Philistines come against him, and she says, the Philistines are on you, Samson. And he defeats them. And then it happens a second time. And then it happens a third time. Every time he tells her some crazy story about what the secret of his strength is, she runs to the Philistines, and Samson just keeps on believing that I can live like this and get away with it. See, the thing, I can just get up and shake myself and go out as other times, and God will deliver me because I've done it so many times and nothing's happened. And so he's got her head lying in her lap and tell me the secret of your strength. And finally it wears him down, and his lust and his greed, avarice, his pride and so forth, his arrogance. And he says, okay, if you take a razor to my head and cut all the hair off. I hadn't had a razor on my head since the day I was born. She shaved his head. And she said, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. And the saddest thing you ever read in the Bible, he shook himself and said, well, I'll go out like other times. But he didn't understand or know that the Lord had departed himself. The Lord had departed from him. And he had no strength. And this time they captured him. And then they came with a hot poker. Took a hot poker and put it in the fire and got it all glowing hot, and then gouged his eyes out. And now he can't see. And then they take him and they bind him. And they take him to the grinding floor, the threshing floor, and they hook him up to the grinding wheel to do a job that was the oxen were supposed to do. And he pulls that grinding wheel. He's blind and he's bounded and he's grinding in that threshing floor. And they're laughing at him. The Bible says that they made sport of Samson. They laughed at him and they mocked him and they jeered him. And friends, should we be surprised? We were told several chapters earlier in the Bible, be sure your sin will find you out. It'll rat you out. It'll find you out. The Titanic launched on its maiden voyage. Disaster struck when it hit an iceberg. And that catastrophe has been written about, made into Hollywood movies, referred to over and over again for over 100 years now. And you know the story. An employee of the White Star Line, before that ship was launched, said not even God himself could sink this ship. It was an employee. Now, you know what? Maybe the employee was representative of the day, the spirit of the day. Maybe that man was, there was an attitude of arrogance and invincibility among the people. And I know this, as I was reading about it this week, the story was that a lifeboat drill was scheduled to take place on board the ship April the 14th, but it was canceled by Captain Smith. No, we don't need to practice the lifeboat drill because this ship's not going to sink. And that very night is when it struck the iceberg, and here it was. A little comment made in private about the invincibility of the ship that God couldn't sink was found out publicly, and the owners and the builders were mocked by the sin of pride as hundreds of people drowned and went to their death in the ocean. Because, look, the Bible tells us, sin, be sure your sin will find you out. I have 2 points to my message this morning. 2 points. The first point is this: sin will find us out. That's what he says in verse number 23. It is the plain teaching of the Word of God. It is spelled out in the words in this verse. Watch it though. It is example for us all through the Bible. I just used the example of Samson. But there are far more in the Bible. It is repeated this way in the New Testament. Galatians 6:7 says this: be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sin will find you out. Hey friend, God is not mocked. And brother, that is the unseen result of trying to sneak by with some kind of sin. We are ultimately trying to mock God. You say, Pastor, I would never do that. I would never on purpose mock God. Let me tell you something, pal. When we sneak and sin willfully by secretive and private means, you know what it's, well, you know what it's ultimately saying? It's ultimately saying God can't see. God's not paying attention. God's not going to do anything about this. God doesn't care. Now you think about how powerful sin is to deceive us into believing that God can't see and God doesn't know and God's not watching and that God doesn't care. Friend, that is not true. God does care. But sin has been deceiving man into believing that he can get away with sinning against God and there's no accountability and there's no responsibility, and that is absolutely not what the Bible teaches. You got your Bible, look over Psalm chapter 10 this morning. Psalm chapter 10 and verse number 11. Psalm chapter 10 and verse number 11. Psalm 10. We'll just take a couple of scriptures here to look at them real quick. Look at chapter 10, the book of Psalms, and verse number 11. All right, Psalm 10 and verse 11. Now, actually, before you get to verse 11, you could look all the way back up to verse number 4, and you see the verse starts with the words, the wicked. You see that? And then all the way down through verse number 10, the Bible's talking about the wicked man. And then it says in verse number 11, he hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. He said, Pastor, I would never say that about God. But understand, friend, that when we continue on in secret sin, what we are saying by our actions is God doesn't care. God's not paying attention. That's not what the Bible says. Look at Psalm chapter 94. Turn a few pages over to Psalm chapter 94 and verse number 7. Psalm 94 and verse number 7. Read a few verses here in Psalm 94. The verse says in verse number 7, chapter 94, yet they say the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand ye brutish among the people and ye fools, when will ye be wise? Now look at this next verse. He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eyes, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Listen with me. Don't turn to it. Listen to Isaiah chapter 29 and verse number 15. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us? And who knoweth us? You see what the Bible is saying there? Brother Joe, help this. We'll just find a seat for this fellow. Maybe right there. Right there. It'll be good. And get right back to it here. Who seeth us? And who knoweth us? Look at Ezekiel chapter 8. Turn over there in your Bible this morning. Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse number 8. Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse number 8. Actually, verse number 12. Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse number 12. We're talking about man's delusion, man's being deceived into thinking that God doesn't care about if we sin or not. God doesn't notice our sin. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse number 12. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chamber of his imagery? For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. You're right there. Look at chapter 9, verse number 9. Then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. Over and over and over again in the Bible, God says this is how people think. God's not watching. God's not listening. God doesn't care. God's not paying attention. I'll live like I want to. I'll do what I want to. Go where I want to. Sin like I want to sin. And it'll all work out in the end. Our Bible says that sin will find us out. Sin finds us out. Brother Brown, years ago, he used to tell a story. And I don't remember all the exact details, so I won't elaborate. I'll give you just exactly what I remember. I don't remember if the man was saved or not, but he had trouble with alcohol. And he was a drunk, and he tried to get some help and get over alcohol. But he got to the place where he didn't drink it all the time, but he still had to have a little nip every now and again. He'd get nervous and he'd get anxious and he'd run and take a little nip out of it. Had the bottle hidden in a place where his wife didn't know where it was and his children didn't see it. And he'd run and sneak and just have a little nip on the bottle because of his nerves and so forth. And he knew it was wrong. And he tried to hide it from his family, putting the bottle away, hidden somewhere. Well, he let his daughter go out on a date one night. And then the boy picked up in the afternoon, and then several hours passed. He got a call from a police officer, and they asked him to come down to the scene of an accident. He went down to the scene of the accident, and here was the boyfriend's car, and the boyfriend and his daughter both tragically killed in the automobile accident. And he had to deal with that, and deal with it for all that time with the police and so forth. And then he finally got back to the house in the wee hours of the morning. His nerves were shot. He's all to pieces. And so he's thinking, I just got to have a little bit. And he went to the cabinet where he had the liquor bottle hidden away, and there was no liquor bottle there. But there was a note. And he picked up the note, and it said, "Dad, we wanted to celebrate a little bit tonight. Figured you wouldn't mind." It was his daughter's handwriting. She snuck the bottle out. Took it out on the date with her boyfriend. They both had taken and drunk a good portion of it. And alcohol was the result of the accident that killed both the boy and her. I'm just simply saying, friend, the Bible's very plain when it says your sin will find you out. We're so arrogant. We're so proud. Like we can really pull this over on God. The all-seeing, all-knowing God. Sin rats you out. Sin lures you in, hook, line, and sinker, and you get deeper and deeper and deeper, and you feel this aura of invincibility. Man, nothing's happened to me. And then, whoo! And sin finds you out. Sin rats you out. And then sin mocks you. And sin jeers you, laughs at you. I remember Jerry Whitehart years ago. I mean, listen, folks, we're going back 25 plus years. And he's preaching at Marion Avenue. Brother Brian, I don't know if you remember this or not. He's preaching at Marion Avenue, and he tells a story about he'd gone to pastor down in North Carolina, and was there to pastor. He said he had a family in the church, one of the best men and wife in the church, and had like a 16, 17-year-old boy, and he was lost, and he wouldn't get saved. And people tried to lead him to Christ and tell him he needed to get saved. And the parents were just at a loss and said, "Pastor, our son won't get saved. Would you talk to him?" And so Brother Whitehart said, "Sure, bring him in." And so he made an appointment. The boy came in and sat across the desk there. And he said, talked to him a little bit and tried to howdy. And then he said, "Son," he said, "your mom and dad are worried about you. Your mom and dad are lost. Your mom and dad say that you're lost. You're not saved. They're worried about you." And he said, "What's the matter? Why don't you get saved?" He said, "Preacher, I don't need to get saved." He said, "I'm not worried about it." He said, "Well, son, your parents care about you." He said, "Pastor, my parents, do you know my parents?" He said, "They come here, they smile. They shake hands. Everybody in the church thinks they're the best couple in the world. We get in the car, we don't get out of the parking lot before Dad is criticizing everything you preached. We get around the supper table, the lunch table at home, and Mom and Dad are talking about this person in the church and that person in the church and this stupid this and that stupid that and why they do that and all this negative stuff and all this stuff. They don't love you. They hate your guts." And then he said, "My mom and dad are saved and going to heaven. I'll take my chances." And you know, you hear stories like that and you think, my goodness, that's horrible. You kind of think that's far out there, you know, and it's just way outside the box. And then I come to Bourbonnais and I pastor a few years here. And then there's a teenage boy in the church here that we're trying to help some years ago. He's coming to talk to Brother Caleb and coming to talk to me. And it's the same story. "Brother Caleb, my dad dislikes Brother Angel. My mother rips his messages to pieces. They get in the car. They tear down people in the church. They talk ugly about people. This boy's full of bitterness, full of anger, full of all kinds of internal problems." Hearing his folks, be sure your sin will find you out. That's what God said. We sneak around in immorality. Sneak around in drunkenness. Sneak around on the computer. Sneak around on the cable television. Sneak around with all the stuff that's so available today. And ultimately what it's really doing is exactly what we read about in the book of Psalms and the book of Ezekiel. God doesn't see. God doesn't notice. God doesn't care. Friend, I want to tell you something. God does notice and God does care. And sin lures us in and baits us along and lures us in. Boom, hook, line, and sinker, and then it rats us out. You know, then it jeers at us and mocks us. I told this too many times over the years, but I must tell it again. Back when I was assistant pastor out there in Iowa, came home for lunch one day. Hannah was just a little two and a half, 3 year old girl, probably maybe a little older, at least three or four, I guess. And we ate lunch quick with Joyce and Ben's just a little thing. And she said, Dad, can you play hide and seek with me? And I was going back to the church, going back to work. And I said, honey, I only have time to play one game of hide and go seek. So I'll count and you hide. And so I turned my face to the wall. I said, I'll count to 20. 1, 2, 3, 17, 18, 19, 20. Ready or not, here I come. And I turned around and I was about from me to that speaker right there from a rocking chair that was had a pedestal. You know what I'm talking about, a pedestal rocking chair? And there was an apron of material that covered up the pedestal. You with me? And here was my daughter, my 3 and a half, 4 year old, however she was, daughter, laying on the floor. Her head was underneath the rocking chair. Her body was sticking out, full. And I did what you did. I laughed. And I played like, I don't know where Hannah is. Where's Hannah? Where's Hannah? And they're giggling down there. You know. When I left the house and got in my car, I got to thinking, that's how silly we are. We stick our head underneath the material of sneaking and to look at pornography and sneaking to look at things we shouldn't look at or listen to, and drunk and messing around with women on the job and flirting with men here and there and misbehaving inappropriately. We have our head stuck under the chair and God sees it all. Kind of got the attitude that since I can't see God, He can't see me. Where'd that come from? The age-old deception of sin. Moses said, okay, you've given your word, you've given your promise that you're going to go across the Jordan and you're going to fight with your brethren over there. But believe me, friend, if you go back on your word, you come over here and you dwell in your cities and you dwell in your homes and you think you're going to live carefree and peaceable after sinning against your brethren, you better think again, because your sin will find you out. And I'm simply saying this morning, church, sin will find us out. God, help us. Sin will find us out. But let me say number two this morning, in the little time that I have left, better it is if we find out our sin. That's far better. More so than sin finding me out is me finding out my sin. There is an alternative to our sin finding us out, and that is us finding out our sin. And you know what, friend? God is very gracious and faithful, and He will have mercy on us if we will find out our sin and be honest with Him about it and go to Him and say, God, I have sinned against You and I need to be forgiven. I know You see and I know You hear and I know You care. I don't want to mock You with my life. Listen to these verses. We don't have time to turn to them. Proverbs 28:13, He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 32:5, David said, I acknowledged my sin unto Thee. Did you hear that? I found out my sin. I admitted it. I confessed it. I honed up. I said, oh God, I acknowledged my sin unto Thee. And in mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Friend, it is so much better for you and me to find out our sin than to have our sin find us out. Does that make sense to you all this morning? It's a pretty basic message, isn't it? It's a pretty simple message. Sin finds us out, or we find our sin out. One or the other. Getting honest with God, asking for forgiveness and confessing. One time, several years ago, this has been several years ago, a young man came in to see me. And he sat down across the room from me and his lips were trembling. When he sat down, his lips were trembling. He was really upset, but he was controlled, but his lips were trembling and the eyes were dampened with tears. He wasn't weeping, but he was on the verge of it. And I don't remember, and I'm glad I don't. And I mean that honestly. I don't remember. But either one of two things. He either got on a website accidentally and didn't get off of it, or on purpose he went to a website he should have avoided. And I don't remember which it was. And I don't care to. But it was one or the other. And he sat in the chair. I've never seen a young man so sincere. He looked at me and it was, oh, he wanted help. And he wanted to be forgiven and he wanted to confess, but more than that, he wanted victory and he wanted to get over it. He didn't want it to drag him down. And his heart, he just opened his heart up and poured his heart out there in the office. That's rare. That's so rare. So many times young people sit across from you and they're defiant and arrogant. And who told on me? I'm going to tell you something, friend. When you want to get right with God, it doesn't matter who told on you. There was such a sincerity in that room today. I wish I could duplicate it in this pulpit, the emotion of that time. And I shared with him some things and we discussed some very practical step-by-step things on how he could get victory over that. And he's doing fine today. He is doing wonderful today. He is living for God today and serving the Lord today. His sin did not find him out. He found out his sin. You see the difference? But there are others in this room. You got on it accidentally or you got it on purpose and you just keep going back. And you keep going back. And you keep going out with her and you keep going out with him. And you keep nipping at the bottle. And you keep that flirtatious attitude with somebody you're not married to at work. While your spouse is at home or somewhere else. And just go back to it and go back to it and go back to it. And this aura of invincibility fills up inside. God doesn't see. God doesn't know. He doesn't care. I got news for you, friend. He sees. He knows. He hears. And you better believe he cares. Especially if you're his child. Sin will find you out. When it does, it rats on you. When it does, it tells on you. If we find out our sin to God, our sin will not find us out to men. If we find out our sin to God, our sin will not find us out to men. A pastor, I'm not talking just to people in the pew this morning. I'm talking to us on this platform as well. I'm talking to everybody in general. Everybody from all walks of life. A pastor wickedly and on purpose seduces a handful of women in the church to believe that they are doing something biblical and right by entering into some kind of illegal and immoral relationship with him. He so perverted, photographs the immorality. Now, over and over and over again. It's like God's not looking. God doesn't see. Takes the pictures and gets a little scared that somebody's going to find out. And takes the pictures and sticks them in a briefcase. And takes it out to the dumpster in the alleyway behind the church. And throws the briefcase in the dumpster. The next morning the janitor comes. With his bags of trash. And lifts up the lid and says, oh man, somebody dropped a briefcase in here by accident. And pulled it out. Be sure. Be sure. Your sin will find you out. and rat you out and tell on you and expose you. And friend, the honest truth of the matter is, if we find out our sin to God, our sin will not find us out to me. As a pastor, how do I find out my sin? You go to God like the psalmist did in 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You get on your knees and you confess your sin and pray, ask for God's mercy and forgiveness. Hey friend, find out your sin before it finds you out. Find out your sin. You say, preaching like this will run people away from church. I'm not trying to run people in or run people out. I'm trying to be true to God's word. I have a responsibility to preach the whole counsel of God. I don't see where this part of the Bible is designated for Sunday night only. Oh, we've gotten arrogant. I've been talking about God's people. I've been talking about me and you. What sin do you need to find out before it finds you out? You understand the question? I don't mean find it out and just keep on. I mean, find it out and confess it. And leave it. Forsake it. Run from it. And get God not just to forgive you, but to wash you. Amen. So before sin finds us out. But what about lost people? What about people who are not saved? You see, friend, the truth of the matter is, now watch it, I'm done. The whole matter of salvation is the same thing. Sin finds you out, or you find out your sin in order to be saved. Now, let me explain. Here's Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary, and there are two men on either side of him. One man on either side of him, two men together, right? And they're thieves. And one man starts jeering, "Hey, if you are who you say you are, get off the cross and take us down with you. Free us." And this thief says, "Hey man, what are you doing? Don't you know who you're talking to? Don't you realize, now watch this, don't you realize that we are here justly? We have broken the law. We have sinned. We have done wrong. We are criminals and we are here and we deserve to be here. Don't you understand that this man does not deserve to be here?" Both of them are hanging several... their own crosses, what, 3, 4, 5 feet from Jesus? Just a few feet away. And this thief will not find out his sin. He's arrogant and he's cocky and he's jeering almost at Christ. You know what this thief does? This thief finds out his sin. He recognizes it. He says, "Jesus, I deserve to be here. And you don't. I am getting my just punishment. And I'm here. You don't deserve to be here. I do. Please remember me when you come into your kingdom." What did Jesus say to him? "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." You think this one went to paradise? No, sir. He refused to acknowledge that Jesus was pure and he was impure. Jesus was righteous and he was unrighteous. Jesus was sinless and he was sinful. And he died that day and went to hell. And his sin mocked him there. You were 5 feet from salvation. You were 6 feet from the Savior. Now look at you, falling and twisting and turning in this fire, infernal, eternal fire. Look at you. This man, when he breathed his last breath, He went to paradise to be with the Lord Jesus Christ because he was willing to say, I am sinful and you are sinless. I am unrighteous and you are righteous. I am impure and you are pure. Please, I trust you. Take me where you are. I can't get there myself. Please take me where you're going. And I might be talking to somebody today. You haven't come to that point in your life yet. You've not come to the place where you're able to say, Lord, I am a sinner and I cannot get to heaven myself. Please, you died for me. Now you take me there. I'm trusting you. And if you will do that, friend, if you'll find out your sin to God and ask Him for mercy and grace and please save me, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise. I had so much fun coming to the pulpit last week. And that message on the sweetness of the harvest. Talking about how Jesus Christ is our Passover, our Pentecost, and our tabernacle feast. I was so excited about that. I couldn't wait to get here. This morning, I didn't want to come here. Because I knew the message was heavy. I knew the content was tough. I knew it was a punchy message. But friend, that doesn't make it any the less true. Sin will find you. Or you will find your sin. Y'all with me this morning? And when we find out our sin to God, it will not find us out publicly to man. And you don't get forgiveness just to run out and do it all over again. You get forgiveness to walk away from it. Amen? Absolutely. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Thank you for listening today. I appreciate your patience and your attention. Now let me ask a few questions today. Who would say, Pastor, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. Oh, my goodness. I want to keep my record right. And I've become a little bit too casual. I've become a little bit too careless. I haven't confessed my sin consistently. I haven't gone to God and been cleaned up for some things that I should be cleaned up for. It may not be those big, what we would call horrible things, friend, but you know what I'm talking about. Maybe it's being critical. Maybe it's having an old ugly spirit toward your spouse. Be sure your sin will find you out. Pastor, I need to find out my sin before it finds me out. Pray for me. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart this morning. Would you lift a hand, please, wherever you're sitting? Pray for me. I need to find out my sin before sin finds me out. Yes, God bless you. Amen. Many, many hands. Thank you. Take your hands down. Who would be here this morning would say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't want to be like that thief that hung 5-6 feet from Jesus and died and went to hell because I won't acknowledge my sin, my inadequacy, my inability to get to heaven on my own. Pray for me. I'm not sure that heaven is my home. I'm not sure where I'm going when I die. And friend, let me tell you something. If you die without Christ, you go to hell. And your sin finds you out for all eternity. It'll mock you and jeer at you for not coming to Christ. Please don't make that mistake. Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please, wherever you're sitting? I'll just pray for you. Slip it up and put it right back down. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me this morning. Anybody like that in the room? Member, visitor, man, woman, boy, girl, doesn't matter. Upstairs, downstairs. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anybody like that? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. All right. Is there somebody here today who would say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved, but I've not been baptized in deep water since I've been saved. Pray for me. I'm not part of the Lord and believer's baptism. Anybody like that in the church? God bless you. And you, yes. All right, God bless you. If you know you need to be baptized and willing to follow the Lord and believer's baptism, we're ready and able to take care of that for you today, for you to follow the Lord. It'd be a great thing. If you know this is the place God wants you to become a member, you've been visiting, you talked with myself or one of these men, Brother Caleb or somebody about it, we're happy to have you join this morning. But friend, let's let God search our hearts today. Search me, O God, and know me. Let's find out our sin. Let's keep the record clean. Let's keep our accounts short with God. Let's be in the habit of asking God's forgiveness and cleansing, not so we can just run out and do it again, but so that we can live victorious. And let's keep it to the place where sin won't find us out. Because sure as there's a God in heaven, that's exactly what will happen. Unless we find out our sin. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll take Your Word this morning through the power of Your Spirit and put it into our hearts. May it affect how we live this week and beyond for You. God, I pray that we'll be careful. That we won't be so arrogant and prideful, Lord, to live in disobedience before You. Thinking that You don't care, You don't see, You don't know. Help us, oh Lord, please, to find out our sin on our knees as we drive down the road in our prayer closet. That the Holy Spirit would put His finger on what's wrong in our hearts and lives. We confess it and forsake it and live clean before You, I pray. Please work in our life. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. As they play this morning song, you come. You raised a hand. You come kneel this morning. Let God do a good work in your heart. Many hands went up. I wouldn't let the Spirit of God go without taking a moment to express to Him how grateful I am that He spoke to me.